Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. Thank you for each one here, O Lord. Lord, we pray your Holy Spirit will touch us. Help us, O God, to hear your word and help us to obey it. Lord, we pray now that as we continue on this service, that you will not only enlighten us, but help us to move to do your will. In Jesus' name, amen. The reason why I had David read all three texts is because I'm using a different one. I'm using the one from John chapter 4, verses 35 through 38. And this is talking about the harvest of the world. Let us stand at the reading of God's holy word. John chapter 4, beginning at verse 35. Do you not say, there are still 4 months, and then comes the harvest? Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look at the fields, for they are already white for harvest. And he who reaps receives wages and gathers fruit for eternal life, that both he who sows and he who reaps may rejoice together. For in this the saying is true, one sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap that which you have not labored. Others have labored, and you have entered into their labors. These were thy words, Heavenly Father. Sanctify us in the truth. Thy word is eternally true. Amen. You may be seated. As we know, Harvest Fest is coming in about 4 weeks. And we think that, oh, this is kind of early for a Harvest Fest message. Yet it isn't, because our hearts and our minds should be on harvest all the time. The harvest of souls, when we look at the spiritual aspect of what God wants us to do, we find that we can look and what, when our Harvest Fest, we look at the physical harvest of the world or of our crops and so forth. And as we look at these harvests of this harvest on the physical sense, we look at the crops we bring in. We look at the produce that's been produced and sold. We bring the livestock or whatever else we may have. We also look at our wages, because that is a harvest also. And Jesus said, he who labors receives wages. We find that we receive wages, and we have heard the old ad of many times in the past, receive and pay yourself first. Make sure you have enough for retirement. Make sure you can live well like you are today and live even better, because you're going to do all kinds of travel and you're going to do this and you're going to do that. And they want you to invest in their investments. Jesus says, and he tells us the parable of the rich man, and he says, you know, the rich man looked at his crops and he said, I have so much and I don't know what to do with them. I will tear down my barns and build bigger, and I have much goods, so I will take life easy, and I will take life easy and eat, drink, and be merry. And God says, tonight, your soul will be required of you. Then who will these things belong to? And we look at that from the physical aspect of life. We want the best, and we work for the best. And God wants us to have the best, but he wants us to have it through him. And we can have the best through him when we have a spiritual harvest in our own lives and in our own souls, in our own families, relatives, and friends, and throughout the whole world. And this is what Jesus is speaking about today. We read in the Old Testament, God says, I am the Lord thy God. He didn't put it quite in those words, but he says, there is no other God before me or beside me. I am the one who created the heavens and the earth. We look and we see in Philippians where Paul wrote to the Philippians and to the Christians, and he says, you know, it would be far better for me to die and to be with Christ. He's looking at the physical nature of his own life, and he's saying, I would rather be in the spiritual nature and be in heaven with God, be in heaven with Christ, because I have Jesus as my personal Lord and Savior, and I have went out and I have obeyed the Spirit as it led me. And I have obeyed that Spirit as it led me to go throughout the different lands and the different people. If you were to read the story of Paul, you would find he says, I have been in want and I have had an abundance. I have been shipwrecked and I have been well taken care of. Yet through it all, he says, there is a crown laid up for me because I have Christ at the center of my life. I serve my Lord God with my whole heart, my whole strength, my whole being. And this is what Christ is telling us today. As we had a call to worship this morning, we put in there and we said the statement too, that as we sing to the Lord a new song and sing to the Lord all the earth, ascribe to the Lord the glory of his name, bring an offering and come into his courts. How many of us realize what we were saying? Or if we were praying it, what we were praying? How many of us in our songs realize what we're saying or praying or should be praying? We find that the harvest is before us. Not only the physical harvest, in which it tells us and God tells us in Malachi, he says you bring in the tithes, which is 10% of your everything you got, and then you give offerings above that. And if you're to go back in the Old Testament and find out that the people of those days used to give anywhere up to 35% of their gross to help the church, because the church did so many things for those that weren't able to work. Today we have government programs. And yet we find and we say, I earned it. And we don't give God the credit. And Jesus is telling us here, there is a harvest much greater than our physical harvest. It's a harvest of souls for eternity. And that harvest of souls for eternity is one in which will never end. And he wants us to not only have his son Jesus as our personal Lord, he wants us to obey him with our heart, our strength, our mind, our complete being. And we find that in Corinthians as well as in Isaiah that God has spoken, today is the acceptable time. Today is the day of salvation. Do not delay, because we do not know how much time God has promised us or given us. And therefore, we know that the harvest is here and it's great. Jesus tells us, he says, I have sent unto you to go out into those fields of harvest. I want to make you fishers of men. And in those fishers of men, you would be able to convince your friends, your family, those you come in contact with, that they need Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior. You would know Scripture good enough that you would be able to do this with the help of the Holy Spirit, because he gets all the glory and the honor. How many of us have asked and prayed and says, Lord, lay a soul upon my heart, that through that soul I will only love him and teach him and bring him into your kingdom. So many of us are like the Barnum pole that was taken some time ago, and there was just over 1,000 people that entered that pole, and in it there was a number, I don't remember the exact number, I think it was something like 27% said they don't feel they have to tell anybody else about Christ. Yes, we profess to be Christians. We profess to have Jesus as our Lord and Savior, but I don't have to tell anybody else. And you say, what Bible are you reading? Where does it say that in Scripture? God tells us to live a life worthy unto our belief and our trust. Paul gave his complete self, and he was a very learned man, and he gave himself wholly and totally over to Jesus Christ. And he went through hardship, and he went through good times. God will give us what we need, not necessarily more than we need. He wants us to be happy, yes, and he will keep us happy because we trust in him, and we come to him in prayer, praise, and supplication with thanksgiving. And we should be willing to thank him for all the goodness he has given us. We find also in Jeremiah tells us, the summer is past, the harvest is ended, and we are not saved. And we look at and we say, I don't understand what God is talking about. Yet God is saying, have you stepped out? You profess to be a Christian. You profess to have Jesus first in your life, and yet are you willing to step out and show it to those round about you? And many times we have to say no. In the same Barnum poll, they had a number of people, and they all professed to be Christians. They all professed that when they died, they knew Christ was their Lord and Savior. Yet we had a percentage of them that did not believe that Christ had risen from the dead. We had a number of them that felt there was errors in Scripture. And you ask the question, what Bible are you reading? Have you asked when they tell you there's errors in Scripture to show them to you, and they can't do it? Because there aren't any. The Word of God is the inerrant, infallible Word of God. And God says, I will open up to you the Scripture and the mystery of Scripture as you trust in me and as you pray, not only for yourself, but for those round about you. We find that the harvest is ready. Jesus says, look onto the fields, for they are white unto harvest. When we look at grain fields, we see they're ready to combine. We see that the combines are out there getting in the grain. Are we doing the same thing for the souls of man? Are we willing then to go out and work? Jesus says, pray God that he would send laborers into the field of harvest to harvest these, because as that grain is ripe and falls to the ground, Satan will do everything he can to tempt them to leave the Lord, and he will tempt the Christian even to leave the Lord and to not walk with God. He will tempt them into thinking that they are wonderful and great within themselves. Yet it's Christ and Christ alone that we serve. It's Christ and Christ alone in which we take our stand and we say, Lord, help us to preach and teach your word. I'm visiting with a man and he refuses to accept Christ. He says, I know all about it. I know what's going on. You ask him, do you know you're going into hellfire forever and forever? Eternal separation from God. I know that. But I have to think about it to see if this is really what I want. It's not what you want for your physical self today. How about your spiritual soul? Because we're not guaranteed tomorrow. And yet the man does not want to give his heart or admit that he is a sinner. He says he's led a good life, and he probably has. Yet, if he is not saved, he will end up in eternal hell. I once knew a man, and I could go to him and ask him where something was in Scripture, and he would tell me. He knew his Bible inside and out. Yet, when I asked him if he had Jesus as his Lord, he said no. And sometime later, he had accepted the Lord, and it had taken a long, long time for him to be convinced that all the knowledge in the world does not save you, but it's only what Jesus has done on Calvary's cross when he shed his blood there for each one of us. And he drew the world into him, and he saved and died for the world. The gift has been paid for. The gift is ours for the taking. Yet we find that so many people refuse to take it. We find that the harvest to God is very, very valuable. And we find that God says, I would rather that all people would come to the knowledge of saving grace than to have any go lost. In Ezekiel, he tells us, he says, I have no pleasure in the death of a wicked person. And he says, I would rather have that person come to the knowledge of truth and to accept Christ. And we look and we say, Lord, you can do everything. Nothing is impossible to you. Yet he says, I have given you a choice, and I will stick by my covenant that I gave you a choice to either follow me or not to follow me. I will do everything I can to help you to follow me. I will send my son into the world, and this he did in John 3:15-18. He says he sent Jesus into the world that those who believe on him would have everlasting life. And we read in John 3:16, of course, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. That in giving of that son, all those who would believe in him would have everlasting life and would not perish. God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but through him the world would be saved because of his blood that was shed on the cross of Calvary. We see the thief that called on Jesus, and he says, today, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus says, today you will be with me in paradise. That man is in paradise today with Jesus Christ. As a Christian, when you're called out of this world, one thing you're going to see is the throne of God. You'll see the rainbow about the throne. You'll see the river of life flowing out from that throne. You will see the tree of life on each side of that river. And you will see there that as you eat the fruits of that tree of life, it'll give you life eternity and forever. And God will teach you. God will give you the way in which to go. God will not only show you his mysteries, but you will understand them, and you will forever be with Christ in the kingdom that he has prepared for you. If we go on in Matthew or in John chapter 3, we find that those who believe in Christ already have eternal life. Those who do not believe are condemned already, it tells us, because they do not believe. They have condemned themselves. Jesus says, I will not condemn you. Your own words will condemn you. And it is your words then that sends you out away from the kingdom of God and in eternal separation from God. We find that we have had all the knowledge we need. We have been given the scripture, and we have been given the pros and cons of why we should believe in Jesus Christ. As the harvest time comes, not only for our church, but for our own souls, we pray that our heart and our mind would say, Lord Jesus, make sure I am right with you. Help me to live for you day by day. Help me to do your will. Help me in my job, that opportunity comes, that I would be able to proclaim you and you alone. If we were to have someone come to you today, would you be able to lead them to the Lord? You know, it's something to think about. You have been given the opportunity, and many times in your life you will receive the opportunity to bring someone to Christ, to tell them of God's love, to tell them of His mercy, His grace, and to give them encouragement and strength to continue on in His Word. We will understand and we will be told that in this physical life, we're not necessarily going to be given a bed of roses. God said, Jesus said, you know, if they hate you, remember they hated me. They don't hate you as a person. They hate the God or the Christ that you proclaim, that died for your sins on Calvary's cross. It's Christ and Christ alone on the cross of Jesus that He shed His precious blood. And it's on that cross that we come to realizing that He not only shed His blood, He was put in the grave, He rose again, and is making intercession for us today in heaven. We find that the Word of God is true over and over again. It is not contradictory, and there is no errors in it. We find that the Word of God is much more intelligent and much more profound than our own thinking. We find that as we study, that we will never finish learning, because the Holy Spirit can keep teaching us over and over again. As we leave this place, and as we live day by day, not only to bring in a harvest for our church and for our community, but that we would bring in one for Jesus Christ, the winning of souls, and the winning of souls to His glory, to save them from going into eternal damnation, to save them from the fires of hell, and to save them from eternal damnation, to the point that they would be living in glory beside us, and that we would take our crowns and be able to cast them at the feet of Jesus for all the glory He has done for us and all that He has given us. Let this harvest not only be physically, but spiritually in our lives and in the lives of those we come in contact with. Heavenly Father, I pray that You would watch over us and keep us in Your care. Help us, Heavenly Father, to do Your will, and that as we call upon You, we will realize, Lord Jesus, that it is You and You alone that leads us and keeps us. In Jesus' name, amen.